Good health to all from Rexall. Yes, it's Sunday. Time for the Phil Harris Holiday Show. Presented by the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists.
Good evening. This is your Rexall family druggist, taking a little time from behind the prescription counter this Sunday evening to speak for all 10,000 of us. The 10,000 independent druggists who have added the word Rexall to our own store names. You can always tell us by the orange and blue Rexall sign on our windows. The sign means that we carry the 2,000 or more drug products made by the Rexall Drug Company. They range all the way from aspirin to penicillin. And they're as fine and pure and dependable as science can make them. We independent druggists recommend them to our customers because we know you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to you all from Rexall. And now your Rexall family druggist brings you the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. Written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Most of you must remember that first ordeal of your childhood, having your tonsils removed. This minor crisis has struck the Harris family, and as we look in, Alice is trying to comfort her frightened patient.
Now, look, honey, you mustn't cry. Having your tonsils removed doesn't hurt a bit. You get to stay overnight at the hospital, and in the morning they give you a big heaping plate of ice cream.
I don't care. I don't want my tonsils out. I don't want them out, do you hear me?
Why not?
Well, because I've become attached to them. They're part of me, and I've learned to love them.
Daddy, there's nothing to it. When the doctor removed my tonsils, I didn't mind it.
Didn't it hurt?
No. I didn't mind when he took mine out either. You'll be at the same hospital we were. Oh, it's a lot of fun. They put you to sleep, and when you wake up, a beautiful nurse comes in with a plate of ice cream.
When I'm suffering, I don't want any... Blonde or brunette?
Tutti frutti.
Tutti frutti. What kind of color hair is that?
Look, Alice, do I have to have my tonsils taken out today? Can't I put it off for a while? After all, I'm too young for this type of operation.
Too young, he says. What do you want to do, wait until you're 60?
No, but I think a man should have his tonsils removed when he's 40.
Why didn't you? Now, Phil, you can't postpone it. The doctor's made arrangements at the hospital. He's going to operate this afternoon, and that's that.
No. Alice, look, I hate to talk about it, but... Well, I've got to know. Now, when he cuts my tonsils out, will I lose much B-L-U-D?
Oh, not more than 2 K-W-A-R-T-Z.
What do you think they're talking about, Phyllis? I don't know. They must have a language all their own.
Girls, run along outside and play, huh?
Oh, Alice, I'm scared.
Now, Phil, the doctor said it's a very simple operation. It's ridiculous to fret about it.
Ridiculous to fret, she says. What am I supposed to do before I go on my operation?
Increase your life insurance, Philip.
One of these days, I'm going to dull his pinking shears. I'll go further than that. I'll tear up every one of his butterick patterns.
Philip, you're a fortunate man. It's a wonderful day for a tonsillectomy.
Oh, the day's got to be nice yet. Where do you think I'm having this done, at the Hollywood Bowl?
No, but a nice day makes one feel more cheerful. By the way, who's performing the operation, Philip?
Dr. Stanley Immerman.
Oh. Well, we all have to go sometime. personally, I prefer Dr. Arthur J. Rando.
You know Dr. Immerman is a wonderful surgeon. Why, he's been our family doctor for years.
That's right. Only last year he treated Aunt Harriet for poison ivy. May she rest in peace.
He treated her for poison ivy and she cut. The operation's off. Let's forget it. We're a little late, folks. Good night. This is NBC, the national broadcasting. Bong, bong, bong.
Now come back here. Willie is just teasing you. Aunt Harriet was 102 when she died.
Of what?
Of what? He was crowning the plate and Bob fell a beander with a fast one.
Now that I don't believe at all. Go ahead, laugh, laugh, make jokes about it. Nobody in this house cares. The only one who realizes the seriousness of this thing is Frankie. When I told him...
Hi, Alice, I brought the beer over for Curly's wake.
Too bad.
Frankie. Oh, are you still alive? I thought you were having your tonsils taken out today.
Not until this afternoon. Gee whiz, Frankie, don't you feel sorry for me?
Why should I? It's a simple operation. I had mine taken out last year.
How was it?
Horrible. Well, do you know that after the operation, I couldn't eat any solid food? I was on a liquid diet.
Oh, that must have been a harrowing experience.
Well, it was. For 2 weeks, I had to send back the fruit out of the old fashioned. But you have nothing to worry about if you have a good doctor with a steady hand. Who is cutting your tonsils out?
Dr. Immerman.
Immerman? Oh, you mean old Butterfingers.
Cut that kid. Dr. Immerman is the best surgeon in town.
How much is he charging you?
$75.
$75? That's highway robbery. You don't have to pay that kind of money.
Well, where could I get it done cheaper?
I know a guy.
Look, Remley, you can forget about a guy.
No, he'll clip him out quick. He used to do all the clipping in the Army.
Well, what? What was he, a barber?
Of course not. He's the guy who used to go up ahead and snip the barbed wire.
Must you jest at a time like this?
Pardon.
No, but do you realize that an awful thing could happen to me, Remley? This operation could affect my voice. And I won't be able to sing anymore.
True. But what awful thing could happen?
Now, wait. Just a minute, Mr. Remley. My voice happens
now,
to...
take it easy, Curly. I'm only kidding. I guarantee nothing will happen to your voice.
How do you know? You're just saying that to make me feel good. I'll tell you what, Frankie. I'll sing for you now. And listen closely, Frankie. Remember, this may be the last time you'll ever hear me sing.
Well, you're just saying that to make me feel good.
Now, Elmer Jones arose at dawn and put his hunting breeches on, then looked up at his shotgun on the wall. He made his mind up then and there to bag himself a hunk of bear at shooting. He had plenty on the ball. He milked the cow and fed the hog, then kissed his wife and called the dog, picked up his gun and started on his quest. He crossed the creek and hit the trees, threw back his head and sniffed the breeze, let out a yell and pounded on his chest.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
He hunted all the morning through, but not a bear came into view while Elmer's thoughts were on the kitchen range. For he was sick as he could be of lamb and chicken fricassee and craved a mess of bear meat for a change. Poor Elmer's mind was in a fog. He paused and sat down on a log to get his faculties back in the groove. He heard a noise, and standing there before him was a grizzly bear, and figured it was time he made his move.
Here comes Elmer. Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer. Run, bear, run.
Grabbed his gun and turned around, but Mr. Bear just stood his ground, and Elmer said, "It's either me or thou." The gun refused to go, and so he knew that somebody had to go and said, "Farewell, I'm leaving as of now." Then Elmer's shoulders sprouted wings, his feet developed inner springs. To linger longer, he was disinclined. He ran so fast through muck and mire, his ankles set his socks afire. Still that bear kept coming on by.
"Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun.
Deer with antler 8 feet wide got in the way of Elmer's stride as both of them went heading for the brush. And Elmer said, "Now listen, son, if that's the fastest you can run, move over, because I'm really in a rush." The bear was gaining inch by inch and finally reached out for the clinch as Elmer saw the fence around his place. He leaped the fence and landed hard, jumped 60 feet across the yard and slammed the kitchen door in Bruin's face.
"Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun.
Bear was trying to get inside while Elmer sought a place to hide, and Mrs. Jones began to pull her hair. She said, "This fuss has got to stop. Why don't you let that matter drop?" And Elmer said, "Honey, you go tell that to the bear." Then Elmer's wife said, "Listen, goon, how come you think you're Daniel Boone, whose appetite on bear meat used to thrive?" He said, "I'm sure that you're aware that Daniel always killed his bear, but honey, I done brought this baby home alive."
Here comes Elmer. Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run!
Bill, you'd better get ready. We'll have to leave for the hospital in a few minutes.
No, honey, no. Oh, Frankie, I'm afraid to go to the hospital.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Oh, Frankie, I don't want to go. I never want
to. What's wrong with Stella Dallas?
Go away, Julius. I'm a sick man.
Oh, that's a shame, Mr. Harris. What's wrong?
I'm going to the hospital for an operation. What's so funny? I'm having my tonsils taken out and everybody's laughing. I'm frightened.
Frightened about having your tonsils taken out? Hey, you big sissy.
There's nothing to it, Curly. It's a cinch.
Yeah, it's easy for you to say that. You don't have to go. Oh, gee. I feel like a condemned man.
Well, Phil, it's time to go.
I don't want to go, do you hear me? I ain't going to go.
There's no use fighting it, baby face. Go with the warden.
Now, pal, walk that last mile like a man.
Harris is getting his tonight.
I can't bear to watch it when the lights dim.
Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for the killing me.
Will you guys stop?
Oh. Oh, leave him alone, fellas. Come on, Phil, the chair is ready. I mean the doctor. Let's get to the hospital, huh? Hollywood Memorial Hospital. Oh, Mrs. Daniels is resting very comfortably. You're welcome.
Nurse. Hasn't my wife had her baby yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, how can she be so inconsiderate? How can she torture me like this?
Now, Mr. Phillips, just go back to the father's waiting room and relax. I'll call you.
Okay, thanks. This is the third time, and she always keeps me waiting. I'll never learn.
Oh, Phil, come on, will you?
Don't rush me. I want a little time to think it over.
He may drag you. You haven't acted this way since the day I led you to the altar. Oh, hello. Is there anything I can do for you folks?
No, thanks. We're just browsing.
Oh, yes, I'm Mrs. Harris. Mr. Harris has a reservation for a tonsillectomy.
Oh, yes, we've been expecting you. You'll have to wait a few minutes, Mr. Harris. The doctor isn't quite ready for you yet.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, Alice, I feel a little weak. I'm going to sit down.
You go ahead, Phil.
Never felt so shaky in my life. Oh, here's a waiting room. I'll just go in and sit down and... Oh, hello, mister.
Hello. You waiting, too?
Yeah, I'm here for...
Oh, you don't have to tell me. I recognize the symptoms.
Hey, you look shaky.
This must be your first time, huh? I've been through this 3 times.
You mean this can happen again?
Well... it's been known to.
How big are they as a rule?
My first one weighed 7 pounds, 3 ounces.
Didn't you have trouble finding collars to fit you? What did it look like?
It was the image of my wife.
Your wife must be a very unusual looking woman.
Oh, but what a thrill you'll get when they put the little thing in your arms.
They give it to you? What are you supposed to do with it?
Wrap it in a blanket and take it home. What do you expect to do with yours?
Well, I hadn't made any plans for it.
Well, I guess there's time for that. What are you hoping for, a boy or a girl?
Do they come in sexes?
Do they come in... Oh, mister, I'd better have a little talk with you. How soon do you expect this event to take place?
In about 15 minutes. See, my wife said she'd come in and let me know when the doctor's ready.
She's coming in and let you...
The doctor's almost ready.
Oh, okay, honey. Oh, by the way, mister, this is my wife.
This is your wife? And in 15 minutes? No, oh, excuse me. I gotta get some hair.
He acted awfully peculiar.
You'd act peculiar, too, if you had a wife that looked like a tonsil.
Well, Phil, you'll be going up to the operating room in 5 minutes.
Alice, how can you be so matter-of-fact about it? Don't you have any feelings? I don't think you care.
No, you know I care. If you don't believe me, look at me.
Once I cared for no one, I didn't care if the moon fell apart. I went around with a chip on my heart. Now look at me, take a look at me. A miracle has happened. Each little dream seems to fit into place. Can't tell the sun from the smile on my face. Just look at me and see. I like this brand new feeling of dancing on the ceiling. It only goes to show you how nice it is to know you. I'm on my way to heaven. I know I won't have to go very far. Long as we stay just the way that we are. Just look at me. Take a look at me. You'll see a gal in love.
Love me forever and tell me you'll never stop looking forever one moment.
I like your charming chatter, especially when you flatter. It only goes to show you how nice it is to know you. I'm on my way to heaven. I know I won't have to go very far. Long as we stay just the way that we are. Just look at me. Take a look at me. You'll see a gal.
Alice, how can you sing at a time like this? Gee whiz, how can you be so heartless?
Now, Phil, please believe me. I'm not being heartless.
Harris, we're ready for you in the operating room.
The operating room? Oh, no. No, I'm not going. Oh, I can't go. I could just see them all standing around the table, the doctor and the nurse and the anesthetist.
Now, Mr. Harris, lie perfectly still while we administer the anesthetic.
Doctor, I tell you, I don't want my tonsils out. I want to get out of here. Oh, doctor, I want to romp in the fields. I want to feel the sun. I want to feel the rain in my hair. I want to...
Oh, live. Shut up!
Doctor, that's no way to talk to an invalid.
Now, Mr. Harris, I'm putting this ether cone over your face, and I want you to count slowly. By the time you reach 15, you'll be asleep. Now, count.
5, 10, 15. I'm not asleep yet. It didn't work. Operation called off on account of bad ether. See you around, Doc. You're looking good.
Get back there. Now, count to 15. Or can't you count that high?
Don't be a wise doctor. I can do it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8... 9, 10, Jack, Queen, King, A.
I'm floating through space. Where are they taking me? Oh, today's the day I'm going to be operated on.
Oh, they're all laughing at me. Alice, Frankie, Julius, and Willie. They don't care what happens to me. Look at me. I'm on the operating table and nobody's here. Nurse! Nurse!
What's on your mind, kiddo?
Alice, what are you doing in a nurse's uniform and why are you talking like you used to before you got into picture?
Here comes the doctor now.
Well, thank goodness you're here, doctor. You're the doctor?
You shut up, Max. I'm Dr. Barrett.
Julius.
No, Paul.
Paul Barrett.
And I'm his assistant, Dr. Seidel.
Frankie.
No, Homer.
Homer Seidel. Oh, no, let me out of here.
Lie down. I'm ready to operate. Nice, my gloves.
Which one do you want, the first baseman's or the catcher's mitt?
Never mind, we'll go without gloves.
Now, Mr. Harris, what do you want us to take out? We're having a special today. Adenoids, $25. Appendix, $35. Liver, $45. With onions, 15 cents extra.
Look, fellas, all I want is my tonsils out.
Oh, of course. Nice, take your shoes off.
My shoes? My tonsils are in my throat.
We're doing it the hard way. Let's proceed. Nice, what's the patient's temperature?
101.
Pulse?
74.
Blood count?
90 proof.
Only 90 proof? Somebody's been watering it.
We're ready, nurse. Hand me my knife. Better sprinkle some ashes on it.
Ashes?
Yeah, it keeps slipping. Now open your mouth, Harris.
Wait a minute now. Aren't you going to give me ether first?
Nah, let's rough it. Now, nurse, this is a very delicate procedure, and I'll need your help. I'll approach the tonsil through the esophagus, I'll bypass the larynx, and at that precise moment, you're to apply the suture quickly to the pituitary gland.
No kidding! I disagree with your prognosis, doctor. There's a more professional way to remove this man's tonsils.
How?
You tie a stringer on him, and I'll open the door fast.
Never mind, I'll do it the right way.
All right, open your mouth. Doctor, my forceps.
Forceps.
Knife.
Knife.
Scalp him.
Ugh.
That scalpel.
Oh, he big show, Tommy. Oh, big man, big show.
Shall we go around once more?
All right, nice. You can help now. Get suture in.
Suture in.
Suture in. Clamps down.
Clamps down.
Fire torpedo tube number one. Hello, my
heart. Achtung, Deutschland über alles.
Das ist ein lausi Tanzel.
Ja, das ist ein lausi Tanzel. Lausi Tanzel.
Let me out of here. What are you people doing to me? Oh.
Oh. Who? Where am I? What happened?
Well, they operated on you last night, Phil, and you're doing fine.
They took out my tonsils. Tell me, Alice, who does it look like?
Oh. Well, he's still a little delirious, I see. But if you want to see your tonsil, Mr. Harris, I have it right here.
May I hold it? Gee, it's cute. So you're my little tonsil.
Good morning, Philip.
Oh, no, I got a tonsil that talks like Willie.
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. But first, here's your Rexall Family Druggist.
Every year, accidents in the home and on the highways continue to take more lives than any disease or illness. Yet many of these lives could have been saved by proper first aid. That's why the National Association of Retail Druggists has proclaimed next week National First Aid Week. And during this week, the 10,000 independent Rexall Druggists of America invite you to do two things. First, do everything you can to prevent accidents, but when they happen, be prepared. First, by knowing what to do, and second, by making sure your medicine chest contains all the things you need to do it. Now, your own Rexall Family Druggist will be glad to tell you the essential first aid items you should always have on hand. What's more, he carries Rexall's complete first aid line. Everything from sterile cotton and handy gauze pads to the proper antiseptics, surgical powder, burn remedies, plus certain Rexall exclusives, like Rexall's new ProCap adhesive tape and Rexall quick bands. He'll also be glad to show you the specially designed first aid kits, priced at 98 cents to $2.10. These always ready room-saving Rexall kits contain all the necessaries for simple first aid, including a manual of first aid instructions. Look for these products wherever you see the orange and blue Rexall sign on the window. And remember, when accidents do happen, it's good to know you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall.
Alice, honey, I'll be home soon. I'm going down to the taxidermist.
What for?
I'm going to have my tonsil mounted. I think it'll look much better over the fireplace than that moose head.
This program was produced and directed by Paul Phillips. Included in today's cast were Jacqueline DeWitt, Ted Von Else, and John Beale. The part of Frankie Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by Walter Tetley. Alice Faye appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. This is Bill Foreman wishing good health to all from Rexall.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.